Hi, it's Karen Webster for Payments.com. I'm here today with Kevin Phelan, Managing Director for Global Card and Comprehensive Payables for Bank of America. Hi, Kevin. Thanks for joining me today.
Thanks, Karen. It's a pleasure to be here.
So let's talk a little enterprise payments. And it's a big topic, but I'd like to zero in on a particular way to start that conversation, and that is around data. So a lot of the conversations I've had recently about the differences and similarities between retail and commercial payments is about the importance of data. And certainly data is important for both retail and commercial payments, but it seems to me that it takes on an entirely different personality on the commercial payment side, where there are many more layers of data that has to be considered in order for a commercial payment to be made, terms, timing, approvals, and the like. I'm curious to get your impression on that and whether taking all of that into consideration is one of the hardest things about innovating in the space.
Karen, it's a great question. I think as I look at the space that we're focused on, data is critical. It's a critical component. And when I think about it, when I talk to our corporate clients, it really falls into a couple of key areas. One, it helps them to make decisions. So the fact that they have this information, this data, helps to drive lots of decisions for them, whether it's vendor information, whether it's terms, whether it's supplier relationships. It's critical for them to make future decisions as they move forward. Also, when you look at that real-time nature of that data and also the offline nature of the data. So I need to make real-time decisions utilizing the data, but then also I want to be able to do analytics on the backside. We collectively need to make sure that we provide it in a way that is meaningful for a corporation. And so when you're taking data from around the globe associated with payments, it does create a need for thinking about it from an innovation perspective, but then also you have to apply local requirements, regulatory requirements, and different views of how that data will eventually be utilized. And so I don't think it's an obstacle or a hindrance to innovation. I think it's a core component of how you approach innovation. And if you're able to get an understanding of how to present, provide, inform with this data, then I think it does give you a great step up, so to speak, from an innovation perspective.
But how do you do that and scale if there's so much customized input that's required? You know, each customer has its own specific requirements, and that may vary by country or by supplier or buyer. How do you actually get all of that into a solution that you can actually scale?
Well, ultimately, you know, scalability is critical. You know, to your point, you know, we've got, you know, tens of thousands of clients doing business with us around the globe. So it has to be a scalable solution. I think as you look at collecting and distributing data, you've got to be able to create an environment that allows the client and gives the client access to that data, so that they can extract, retain, decide, decision based on that information that you're providing to them. So when we look at how we provide that data around the globe, our approach and direction is to deliver to the client in the most appropriate way for them, whether that's at a country level, region level, or global level, give them the flexibility to extract the information, drive decisions off of that data, and then ultimately look to us as the consultative partner that can give them insights more broadly about that data. So let's get it to them while at the same time providing those insights in those, you know, global views that hopefully will drive better decisions for them and help them to utilize that data better going forward.
So there's obviously two pieces to what you're trying to achieve with serving these enterprise clients. And certainly the data is important, and moving the money mm-hmm. is obviously very important. And those two things go hand in hand. What do you think is the more valuable piece of that solution? Is it moving the money, or is it providing the data?
You know, Karen, I would say 10 years ago, it was all about how do you remove friction in payments. And, you know, large banks were very good at taking payments. That's what we do all day long. So I think that's kind of table stakes now, is that you can manage payments around the globe and you can do it effectively and efficiently. I do think the data aspect is emerging and has been emerging as a critical aspect of what clients are looking for from their financial institutions. And again, to our point in discussion around the types of data and what they're going to do with the data, that's a critical aspect. But then also consulting with our clients about local nuances, regional regulatory environment, data takes on a larger role. And part of our kind of obligation as the mover of both the payments and the data is to help our clients understand what the data is telling them, what it could tell them, and just as importantly, make sure that they're getting data that's actionable for them. So net-net, 10 years ago, it was all about payments. How do you make a global payment? How do you reduce the friction? I think we've done a very good job of doing that around the globe. Data is critical as we move forward. But then really out of that, anybody can probably move data. Let's also make sure that we provide opportunities to get insights from that data so that there can be actions taken out of that data.
I would imagine, too, that having focus on data gives you the chance to consider new business models as well.
It could, absolutely. You know, so as you think about in any organization that collects a lot of data on behalf of clients or sitting in the middle of a buyer and supplier type of relationship, it does create the ability to have insights. And hopefully those insights can be shared broadly with clients. And when I think about the bank as an example, where we have insights across an industry vertical, or we may have insights across certain segments, how do you take that information and bring it back to another set of clients and say, here's what we see in your vertical. How can we help you to drive a better process around the globe? How can we drive a more seamless process around the globe? How can we help you to be more efficient globally with suppliers? All of those things are part of what we should be doing as not only the data collector or aggregator, but also taking that information, bringing it up a level, and being able to talk to others in different industry verticals, other segments, about the value of some of the data that we do have.
Gotcha. Makes sense. Let's talk about the world in a different context, and that is the world right now is kind of a crazy place. There are lots of geopolitical issues happening all over the world, certainly a lot of different financial and economic conditions that exist. How does that affect the business of enterprise payments and the things that your clients ask you to help them with?
You know, ultimately, you know, the good thing, Karen, is not only do our clients understand, you know, what's happening globally, and they understand the implications. Many times working with financial institutions that obviously there are compliance issues associated with payments. There are ever-changing regulations around the globe. There's obviously day-to-day geopolitical activities happening that may impact the most simplest of payments, let's say associated with travel, all the way to the more complex of how do I pay payroll in a country that may be under an embargo. You know, all of those things need to be taken into consideration. I think ultimately what we hear from our clients is they're looking for us to be that trusted advisor that understands what's happening in those markets, that hopefully has feet on the street, understanding what's happening, and can get ahead of, or at least inform appropriately, here's what's happening in those markets, here's how we can continue to execute and deliver. And where obstacles are emerging that are going to create future problems, how do we provide alternative services within those countries or within those specific markets? Because ultimately, you know, clients are going to continue to do business regardless of what may be happening in that market or in that country. part of our role and responsibility is to make sure that we provide alternatives, suggestions, solutions to our clients to address those at a local level.
Do you have any specific examples of some of those alternatives that you've had to present to clients as a result of things that are happening in different sectors of the world?
Well, you know, ultimately, when I think of, and again, let's use the really easy one as part of my organization. And when I say easy, I don't mean to offend anyone, but literally trying to make sure that a simple, you know, T&E card can be utilized in a market to allow individuals to get out of an emerging war zone or be able to get out of a country that may become embargoed. You know, literally weekly, we're addressing those types of needs with our clients. And what does that mean on how they do their business? I would say, you know, more holistically, if you look at, you know, the activities and the discussions and the sanctions associated with Russia, many corporates around the globe are continuing to do business on a day-to-day basis in Russia. They need to make sure that they pay their employees, that they pay their suppliers, that they're doing what they need to do on a day-to-day basis. Clients understand that we have restrictions and requirements that we need to meet based upon what the U.S. government states are the requirements we have. So we obviously would adhere to those, but we also want to make sure that we provide clients with local, potentially local solutions if there are some that can be provided that may be provided outside of Bank of America Merrill Lynch. And again, our goal is to be that trusted advisor for the client to say, here are some alternatives given what's happening in these different markets. And, you know, just recently this week, I think a perfect example with obviously all the activities associated with Ebola, a lot of our clients are asking us, you know, what are we seeing on travel patterns? Are we seeing things being pulled back because of what we're seeing happening out of West Africa? And how do we make sure that we provide to our first conversation data back to our clients that have individuals that are deployed in many of the countries that are affected? How do we give them data that helps them to understand where their employees are, what they're doing, and as needed, help them to get back to their home countries?
You know, when I think about innovation on the retail payment side, you know, it's all very visible, right? So it's the mobile device used at the point of sale, and it's Apple Pay, and it's things that have a very visible front end to the user. Is that the way you see innovation in the enterprise payment space? Is it the same sort of thing where users see the difference, or does a lot of this happen on the back end?
Yeah, I think it's a, you know, quite honestly, some of the sexier, more interesting things are the most visible. When in reality, when you think about the treasury space and global payments, a lot of it is the plumbing and the infrastructure to reduce friction, to move data better, to help decision better. But there are examples where you see things being deployed in a manner similar to what you would see within consumer that we're now doing from an enterprise payments perspective. We recently announced our kind of a new solution set that we're really looking at. How do we look at payments and move them from a B2C perspective, utilizing, you know, mobile capabilities and really looking at adopting what we did in the consumer side, but applying it in the B2C, G2C, or potentially B2B space. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's got that wow factor. It pops well because you can see it, you can touch it, you can interact with it. But quite honestly, at the same time, we're doing many of the similar things that we're doing in digital disbursements. We're doing similar activities in the core infrastructure, getting that data to where it needs to be, where the best decisions can be made. And that's really plumbing. And the plumbing's got to be good. The plumbing's got to work every day. It's probably not as top of mind. It's not quite as sexy as some of the other things that you may see on the consumer side, but it's essential for governments, for commercial and corporate clients to do their business around the globe every day.
Yeah, I take that point. You know, and we all feel this way as a homeowner, you have to have a good roof on your house, but it's like, it's not exactly the thing you point to every day when you drive up to your home. Look at that wow roof. It's a critical piece of infrastructure to the home. Similarly, the plumbing, as you describe it, is critical to enabling the kinds of data, money movement, and other things that are important for supporting innovation in the space.
Yeah, we'd rather probably talk about our refrigerators and our stoves. And they're a little bit more fun to talk about and what they can do for you. But the reality is, without that roof over your head, that refrigerator stove probably is not going to work as well as it could. And that's where that importance comes in on doing the right thing day after day and continuing to improve the global payments infrastructure.
Well, that's a great observation, very insightful. Kevin, thanks for joining me today. It was great to get your perspective on the enterprise payment space and where innovation is happening and what some of the possibilities are around innovation there. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Karen. My pleasure, and look forward to seeing you next week.
See you next week.